salt and light are two commodities we take for granted. But in the ancient world, they were highly valued. Roman soldiers were given salt rations. And if these salt rations were changed, they were known to revolt. Our English word salary, that's an important word, isn't it? Salary literally means salt money. Isn't that interesting? The next time you hear someone say, "That man's not worth his salt," remember that the value of salt was very high back in the day. Light is also very important. In fact, if you don't have light, you don't have life. We flick on a switch, and we have more light than we need. But people back in Jesus' day couldn't flick on a switch and have light. They didn't have Judea Edison supplying power to their homes. They used little oil lamps with wicks if they wanted light. You know, we would quickly appreciate light if we had to go without power and without light for any amount of time. Kind of like people in Hurricane Sandy on the East Coast. You know, millions of people were without light for several weeks. And I'll bet you they really appreciate having lights now. Much more maybe than we do. Or the snowstorm that just hit up in New England. Yeah, there's hundreds of thousands of people without power and without light. And I'll bet you they might just be really thankful that they have lights now. I think they all have lights now. And you know, even when the lights go out, it can even stop a Super Bowl for 34 minutes and change the momentum of the game. Light is important. And with that in mind, I want you to take your Bibles this morning, open them up to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. We are in the book of Matthew, and specifically we have started the study of the greatest sermon of all times by the greatest preacher of all times, and that's the Sermon on the Mount, which was preached by Jesus. And I'll tell you, this is a radical sermon. We started last week, and we looked at kind of the introduction to the sermon, which is called the Beatitudes. And we noted last week, it talks about there and how to be happy. Not just like a worldly happiness. This is the how to have a divine joy, how to have a happiness that's out of this world. And we noted something last week. What the world says makes you happy? You really want to have divine happiness, a happiness that's out of this world? Look at what the world says makes you happy, then make a U-turn and go 180 degrees different. And that's what God says makes you happy. And I'll tell you what, God's right. God's right in what he says makes us blessed and have a divine joy through the Beatitudes. Well, this morning we arrive in verses 13 through 16. And in those verses, the Lord Jesus talks about salt and light. Look with me, if you have your Bibles, look at verses 13 through 16 of chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. It says there, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now you remember Jesus is preaching this sermon. The audience he's preaching to are are Christians, are followers of Jesus. That's who he's talking to. And in these verses, he's talking about salt and light. And I see three spiritual truths in these verses that I want to share with you this morning. Three spiritual truths that reveal the extreme importance of the life of a Christian and the ministry of a Christian in this world. The first truth is this: the miracle of salvation. The miracle of salvation. If you are a Christian, when you were saved, God did a miraculous thing in your life. He changed you completely. You heard what Bill said. I thought I was saved. I thought just going to church, I was saved. But my life wasn't changed. And then this last year, when he came to Christ, his life was changed. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I'll tell you, that is a miraculous change. That's a miraculous change. That's a miracle. You know, we talk about the Lord's miracles. Do you remember what the first miracle of our Lord was? You remember over in John 2, it's recorded, up in Cana of Galilee, he went to the wedding. And you remember his mom came to him and said, you know what? They have no wine. They ran out of wine. He said, woman, what's that have to do with you and me? My hour is not yet come. But then she says to the servants, this is great counsel. Do whatever he tells you. Do it. Whatever he tells you, do it. Nike it. That's what his mom said to the servants. That's good counsel. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. And so Jesus said, you know, fill those water pots up with water. And there were six water pots, 20 to 30 gallons each. And they filled them up with water. And then they took out of those water pots, and there was a miracle. Jesus had turned ordinary water into extraordinary wine. In fact, the head waiter, after he tasted, he went to the host. He said, usually you serve the good wine first, and then you serve the bad stuff after everybody's, drunk, crocked, or whatever they, you know. But you have saved the best wine to last. Jesus, he says, you know, Jesus, what he did was took ordinary water and changed it into extraordinary wine. And I'll tell you, that's a miracle. But I want to tell you, when you get saved, the miracle that takes place is much greater than that. It's kind of like the song when it says it took a miracle to hang the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul and when he made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. I'm going to tell you, when somebody gets saved, when Christ gets a hold of your life, it's a miracle and you're changed. Now, if you're here, you're saved. The miracle's already taken place. I want to show you this. Look down, note carefully the text. It says, note what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, you will be the salt of the earth, or you will be the light of the world. This is not a prediction. It doesn't say, you may be salt, or you may be light, or you should be light, or you could be salt. It's not a subjunctive. It doesn't even say in the text, be salt and be light. It's not an imperative. It's not a command. It's a statement. If you are a Christian, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You see, a miracle's taking place. Because God, do you know what the Bible says over in Psalm 103? It says, we're dust. We're dust. God knows your frame, that you are but dust. But you know what? When you come to Jesus, he takes ordinary dust and metaphorically he changes you into salt. And he takes darkness and he turns it into light. In fact, hold your hand here in the Bible. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians, I want to show you a verse that's it's just exciting. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. And look what it says about our lives and about the Christian. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. It says there, "For you were formerly darkness." Now, I want you to see this. Listen. It doesn't say you were in darkness. You were in darkness, but it doesn't say that. You were darkness. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You see that? That's a miracle. When God found you, did you hear that? Not when you found God. When he found you, you were darkness. And when by faith you received Christ, he did a miracle. He turned dust into salt. He turned darkness into light. Now, I want to apply this to my life. See if you can relate to this as I share. Before I came to Christ, I was dark in my conversation. I spoke like the world. Foul things, dark things came out of my mouth. I mean, I could cuss like a sailor. No offense to any of you that were in the Navy. But I could. I really could. In fact, when I came to Christ, I lost 90% of my vocabulary. I did. I worked in a junkyard, sorting scrap. And I went to work the day after I received Jesus, and I was real kind of quiet because I lost my vocabulary. And my coworker came to me and said, what's wrong? Are you sick or something? I said, well, last night I went to a church and I received Jesus as my Savior. He looked at me and said, you're sick. But I'll tell you, he changed that darkness. Not only was I dark in my conversation, but before I accepted Christ, I was dark in my character. My thoughts were continually dark. My attitudes were dark. I primarily lived for three: me, myself, and I. That's who I was. And before I came to Christ, my life, my conduct was dark because my conduct flowed out of what I was inside. And the darkness inside came out in my conduct. But then the Lord found me. And by faith, I received Christ as my Savior into my heart. And he came into my life. And although I was formerly darkness, I became light in the Lord. Yes. Light in the Lord. That's what the Scripture says. That's what the Scripture says about the Christian. We are light in the Lord. You remember what Jesus said? He said over in John 8:12, he said, "I am the light of the world." And then over in John 9:5, he said, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But you know what? Jesus went back to heaven. He left the world and went back to prepare a place for his bride. And now, he's not here physically, but he is here in his people. And now, he wants to shine through the Christian. He wants... Now he says, you are the light of the world. You're the ones that are the light of the world. Because I'm in you. And you are the light of the world. Again, before we received Christ, our lives were black holes. We were in darkness and we were darkness. Now that we have Christ living in us, we have his righteousness. A miracle's taken place. He's turned dust into salt. He's turned darkness in the light. What a miracle. Now, application. Did you realize you're a Christian? You're a walking miracle. I hope today, and maybe you haven't. If you haven't, I want you to stop right now and do something. If you haven't thanked God for your salvation, just thank him now. You should have thanked him. I should have thanked him. I should thank him every day for the miracle he did in our life. Thank him. You are the salt of the earth now. You are the light of the world. And if you're here this morning, listen, and you have never come to Christ, you have never personally received Christ, you do not have a personal relationship. I'm not talking about religion. You may go to church every week or three or four times a week, but you do not have a relationship, a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That miracle can happen in your life today. You may have walked in here a mess. You can walk out a miracle. You may have walked in here dust. You can walk out salt. You may have walked in here darkness. You can walk out light. If you will receive Christ by faith, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And God will do a miracle in your life this morning. Oh, folks, I'm going to tell you, the miracle of the new birth, the miracle of salvation. I see a second truth here. Not only the miracle of salvation, I see in salt and light the miserable condition of the world. I'll tell you, God made this world. And God made the people in this world. And there is beauty in the world. I'll tell you, I love to look out at that snow. I don't like snow, but I kind of do. I like to look out and see the diamonds. Did you ever see the diamonds in the snow? God did that for us. He did that for me. I'll tell you, to see that, there is beauty in the world. But ever since sin came into the world, there have been problems. You see, all creation now groans under the curse, under the bondage of sin. And now, spiritually, morally, socially, and in every other way, the world's in bad shape. The world's in bad shape. What's it like? What's the world like? The world is dead and decaying. I see this in the image of the salt, you see. When something is dying or dies, it begins to decay. It begins to decompose. It smells. In fact, it stinks. Do you remember the story in Scripture when Lazarus died? Remember they sent for the Lord and he delayed. And then he comes and his friend Lazarus has died and they come to him and say, Lord, if you'd been here, it wouldn't have happened. And he said, don't worry, got it under control. Remove the stone. And you remember what Martha, I think it was Martha that said it. Lord, he's been dead for 4 days and he will stink. There'll be a stench, Lord, because you know what? He's decaying. He is dead and died, decaying. And you know what, folks? This world is full of dead and dying people. The scripture says that people outside of Christ are dead in their trespasses and sin. And you know what the sad thing is? They don't even know it. These people get up every morning and have a cup of coffee, take a shower, get ready for work, maybe eat breakfast, go to work, come home, eat dinner, turn on the television, watch television, get ready for bed, go to bed every day, and they're dead. They don't know it. It's kind of like the farmer, maybe you've heard the story about the farmer who had to teach his sons the way of the farm. And so the little boy got to be 10 years old and his father never shown him how to dress a chicken. So he said, "Son, come on out here." And he got a chicken. And he grabbed the chicken, put the chicken on the chopping block, got his axe, cut the chicken's head off. Chicken falls to the ground and starts running all over the place. Kid's eye, 10 years old, gets like this. Takes off, runs back to the house, says, "Mama, Mama, come quick. Daddy just killed a chicken and it's dead and it doesn't even know it." But you know what? There are people. We live in a world where people are dead in trespasses and sins. And the sad thing, they don't know it. They don't know it. There's deadness. And not only people, but the world itself is decaying. It's breaking down. I don't remember much from my engineering days, but I remember taking the course thermodynamics. I didn't like that course, but I remember, that's why probably I remember it. But I remember the second law of thermodynamics. You engineers know it. It's the law of entropy. And that means that everything goes, everything is breaking down. Everything goes from a higher state to a more simple state. It breaks down. It goes from a state of order to a state of disorder. I like to call it the law of the teenager's room. Everything goes from a state of order to disorder. I had almost four teenagers at one time. I remember going into one of my son's rooms and looking around. I remember the words I said. I thought, "This looks like end time prophecy." It is some. But you know what? When they say that in thermodynamics, they're just confirming what the Bible said over 2,000 years ago. Things are going from an order to disorder. The world is decaying. And when something is dead and dying, it disorganizes. It goes from order to disorder. And the world today is dead and decaying. The world also is dark and depraved and declining. I see this in the image of light. In the image of light. Folks, I don't have to tell you that the world's a dark place. It's a dark place. It was a dark place after Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. Sin entered and darkness entered the world. And darkness grew. And it grew and it grew and it grew until you remember what it says in Genesis 6:5, the days of Noah. The one verse there in Genesis 6:5, it says, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Only evil continually. That's what God saw. It was dark. And when Jesus came down to the world, it was a dark place. John 1:4-5, it says, "And in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And it was a dark place 2,000 years ago when Jesus came. And folks, today, the world is still in darkness. It's a dark place. It's dark in depravity. And all you have to do is turn on the nightly news or read the Akron Beacon Journal, and you find out how dark things are. And you know what? I think a lot of us feel this way, that are Christians. Our spirit feels vexed. I feel like sometimes we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And my spirit is vexed in me because of the darkness. A world where a man can go in to a school and shoot little 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds. where a man can get on a bus and shoot the bus driver and take a five-year-old captive and take him to a bunker. A world where there is, where child abuse is the norm. Where pornography is a multi-billion dollar industry. Where we can murder and rip apart 53 million babies. The world's dark. And then the sleaze. I mean, today, I mean, even going through the channels, I almost hate to go through channels because of the sleaze on television. Can't go to a movie. You go to a good movie. Oh, they only used the F word 3 times. Dark. Dark world. And it's declining. Man's not getting better. Evolutionists say, oh, we're getting better. We're evolving. I'll tell you what we are evolving and what we're getting better at, or what we're getting more sophisticated in sin. That's what we're getting more. We're getting better sinners. It's not getting better. We're not evolving. We're devolving. It's a dark place. It's a declining place. It's a depraved place. It's a decadent place. It's a dead place. It's a decaying place. What's that mean to me, Pastor? That's why God left us here. That's why God left us here. Do you remember what Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer? He said, God, in John 17, he said, God, Father, I do not pray that you take them out of this world. I've often thought, boy, I wish you'd have prayed, Father, I pray you take them out of the world, because then we'd get saved and instant rapture. But he didn't. He said, Father, I don't pray you take them out of this world. Protect them from the evil one. Then he goes on to say, as God sent me into the world, now I send you into the world. You see, he said, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, but we are to minister to the world. That's why God has left us here, because the world is a dark place. The world is a decaying place. And that leads us to our third point, and that is the ministry of the Christian. The ministry of the Christian. A dead and decaying world, you know what it needs? It needs salt. It needs salt. We have to have a salt ministry in the world in at least 3 ways. First of all, salt prevents decay. Salt prevents decay. Salt keeps things from spoiling. It holds back putrefaction. But not only does it do that, it also is used for healing. It has an antiseptic agent. Our lives and our ministries are to be like that, folks, if you're a Christian. That's what we are to do. Our lives and ministries are to help prevent moral decay and bring healing as you and I share the Word of God with others. We can prevent decay. I saw a church sign, and it said this, and I like this. It says, brush up on the Word of God and prevent truth decay. And that's what it does. That's what we do. We share God's word. I'll tell you what the world needs. You know what the world needs? People to stand for the truth. Amen. People to stand up for moral truth. And not only just with our words, but with our lives, stand up for the moral truth. And you're in a group of people where you work or in your neighborhood, and maybe it's Christians or maybe it's non-Christians. And there's compromise. and they're doing things that maybe they shouldn't do. And you stand up for the truth. You don't compromise. You stand up for the truth. Maybe you even share the word of God. And that maybe the Holy Spirit will use that for one other person to embolden them to stand up for the word of God. And you know what you're doing? You have an assault ministry. You're preventing decay. You're preventing the world from going on and on and on in putrefaction and decay because you're standing for the truth. Another thing salt does, salt flavors its surroundings. It flavors its surroundings. And our lives should flavor in a positive ways those who are around us. We as Christians should not be walking around straight-laced, sober, and sad. Oh, don't you want to become a Christian? Isn't it wonderful, the Christian? Tell you, some Christians look like they were baptized in lemon juice. They do. They go around dragging their chin around. Oh, it's wonderful being a Christian. They look like cheerleaders in an accident. That's not what we're to be like. We are to have a positive influence. Now, I'll tell you what. We're not to go around with a silly grin on our face either. There's hard things in life. But you know, even through the hard things, we can have the joy of the Lord. And even through the down times, we can have, you know what we can have? Peace of Christ that passes understanding. And the hope, we have hope. I don't care what happens, we have hope in Christ. And we don't have to fret. I came across just a little illustration. It spoke to my heart. Y'all know that I'm a Steeler fan. Y'all know that. And you pray for me, I know. But I'm a Steeler fan. You know what? When I watch a Steeler game, and they're playing, and I can get into it, you know. Yeah, go. Somebody fumbles. One of the Steelers fumble, like they did, what is it, 8 times or something like that. When they played the Browns that one time. They fumble. I'm there, oh, no. Oh, and I'm just get upset. Or Roethlisberger throws an interception. I go, oh, no. Oh, they're not. You know, I'm just fretting all over the place. But you know what? One of my sons, bless his heart, he gave me for a present, he gave me all the DVDs of all the Super Bowl wins of the Steelers. Is Todd here? Todd? Yeah, how many do we have, Todd? How many rings do we have? Is it 6 now? I think it's 6. My son gave me all the Steeler. You have to come over, Todd. We'll have a great night of... But you know what? I remember watching the Steelers against the Arizona Cardinals. What a great game. But I remember it's the fourth quarter. Arizona has it. I think it's, who was the quarterback? Kurt Warner. And he throws this pass to the end. Who was the end? Tell me, for the Arizona Cardinals? I forget what it was. But he grabs it, and he's running down the field, and he's running, and he's watching himself on the Jumbotron, you know, and he goes in for a touchdown. And I go, oh, no! Oh, no! There's like a couple minutes left. Oh, no! Oh, no! I'm all upset. But now when I watch it, I watch it on the DVD. Doesn't bother me at all. I say, oh, yeah! Nice catch and everything. Because you know what I know? I know that Roethlisberger and the Steelers marched down the field, and there's Santonio Holmes in the end zone on his tiptoes, catching the winning touchdown. And I don't have to fret at all when I watch that. Because I know the end. And you know what? I know the end now. We win. So, you know, I can go around as salt and everything, you know, all the stuff, the junk that's happened in the world, and everybody's like, oh, no, what are we going to do? I know the end. We're salt. We're salt. We flavor. We've got the joy of the Lord. We've got the hope of Christ. We've got the peace of Christ. And we win. Salt also makes people thirsty. It makes people thirsty. You remember the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but what? Can't make them drink it, but you can feed them salt. And see, that's what we're to do to people. You know, we can share the gospel. We can't make them believe, but we can feed them salt. We can live in such a way that we adorn the gospel of Christ. And people want to come to Jesus. And you know, it says in Colossians 4, 5, and 6, it says, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. And let your speech be always with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, that you should know how to answer any person. You see, our lives need to be salt. We need a salt ministry. And we should prevent decay, flavor our surroundings, and make people thirsty for Jesus. But a dead and decaying world needs salt, but a dark and depraved world needs light. It needs light. And you are the light of the world. And we are the light of the world in three ways. You're the light of the world in your witness, in your conversation. As you share the gospel with others, you're being light. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, even if our gospel is hid, it's only hid from those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. So that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. You see, when you talk to somebody about Jesus, your conversation, your witness is light. We're the light of the world through our witness. You're the light of the world through your walk, through your character. Your attitudes and your inner character need, mine and yours, need to reflect Christ. Your attitudes need, listen, our attitudes need to reflect the Beatitudes.
Amen.
Amen. We need to live the precepts of the King. Put this verse down, Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Listen to what it says. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Oh, is that your life? Do all things without grumbling or disputing. That you may prove to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. I'll tell you, you want to light up your office? You want to light up the place where you work? Don't grumble or complain. Have a positive attitude. Amen? Come on. Say an amen. I hear all those amens in your heart. That's, you know, we are light with our witness. We are light with our walk. And we are light with our works. Look at Matthew 5:16. Look at that verse. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, with our works, you know, if there's somebody hurting in your neighborhood, go bless them. There's an elderly widow in your neighborhood, go shovel her walk. Go cut her grass this year. There's somebody that loses a loved one. Take them a meal. I'm not just talking about in the church. I'm talking about in where you live, where you work. Bless people. Go visit the nursing home. Go visit the shut-ins. Go down to the prison and visit people. And let your light shine so that people can see your good works and not glorify you when they come and say, boy, you're a good guy. Oh, no. It's God. It's the Lord Jesus. Amen. Then we point him to Jesus. You see, we are light in our witness, our conversation, our walk, our character, our work, our conduct. You are the light of the world. Now, what does this mean? Salt and light, to have any positive influence, must come in contact with its environment. It doesn't say, do you see? Look what it says in the text. Look at your text. It does not say you are the salt of the church. You are the light of the church. It says you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Do you see, folks? The ministry we have doesn't take place here. It takes place when you leave and you walk out that door. And you'll see a sign above the door, right above the exit sign. I can see it now. You are now entering the mission field. Amen. It's time to get the salt out of the salt shaker. Yes. It's time to get the light out from under the bushel and put it on a light stand. Now, let me warn you. When you do that, you'll not always get a positive response. Because when you know what happens when you put salt on a wound? Stings. You know what happens when you go into a room? Well, let me just make it personal. I get up every morning, I go through my house and put all the lights on. My wife and used to be my boys would come in, "Don't turn those lights off." And they come and turn all the lights off. I tell them, "You're children of the darkness." I like light. But you know, you go into a dark room and people and they're in the dark room, you turn on the light, they're like, "Turn that light off." You know, when Jesus came into the world, you know what the world said? "Turn the light off." And Jesus wouldn't turn the light off. So they said, "You know what? Okay, you won't turn the light off? We'll extinguish the light. We'll crucify it." And they did. And the light was out for 3 days. But then it rekindled. And he still shines today. Amen. He's still alive. And he's shining. And you know what? We see the miracle of the new birth. He's taken dust and turned us to salt. He's taken darkness and turned us to light. We see the miserable condition of the Lord, well, the world. It's dead and decaying. It's dark. It's depraved. It's declining. It's decadent. But then we see the ministry of the Christian. You are, listen to me. Look, everybody look at me. Everybody, come on. No, wake up. Look at me. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. When we leave this building today, let's be what we are. Lord, we bow before you and thank you.